Well, today what I want to do is I want to just welcome you first of all, and I want to just say that we're in week two of our current Advent series that we're calling Rediscovering Christmas. And I love the subtitle. It's called Good News in Troubling Times. Let me say that one more time. Good News in Troubling Times. So don't raise your hand, but how many people are in need of some good news, okay? If that's you today, I want to let you know you're in the right place. You're in the perfect place, because today what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about a word that really many people could use more of today. And we're going to talk today about this one word. And our word for today, week two of Advent, is the word peace. I love that word. We're going to talk about peace. But before we dive in too deep in our talk about peace this morning, I want to begin with a question just to get you engaged, to get you included in the message. And that is, how many of you grew up in a family or are currently growing up in a family where you have what I call family Christmas traditions? Aren't those great? How many people had family Christmas traditions? I would love to be able to spend time with each and every one of you and say, hey, what was your family Christmas tradition? Because I love hearing people's stories and how families went about celebrating Christmas. For example, in the Bechtold family, and by the way, there was six kids, two parents, there was eight of us. And in our family, one of our favorite Christmas traditions is we loved watching the Christmas TV specials. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Especially if you were a child of the 60s, the 70s, you knew exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we would get out the paper. You know what the paper is, and you or the TV guide, and you would look for the one night that this show would come on, because there was no cable, there, believe it or not, folks, or there was no VCR. You had to catch this show on its one night, because if you didn't, you missed it, and you wouldn't get it again until next year. How many people even have a clue what I'm talking about? Everybody over 50, let's raise the roof here this morning. It was awesome. Okay, so in the Bechtold house, the six of us, would get super excited about these Christmas TV specials. For example, we had shows like Frosty the Snowman, great one. We'd have shows like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that was all right. And then there would be like The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And then hands down in the Bechtold family, this was one of our favorites, and that is A Charlie Brown Christmas. How many people have seen the Charlie Brown Christmas this morning? If you've seen it online, even give a shout out in the comment section. Love Charlie Brown Christmas. And hands down, one of my favorite scenes in the Charlie Brown Christmas is Charlie Brown is in the middle of a meltdown. He's freaking out. And the reason why is because he's become so upset because Christmas has become so commercialized. Okay? So he totally gets so freaked out, and he shouts this question to all of his friends that were gathered. He says, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Does anybody remember that line? Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And then Linus, who is this, what I'm calling the in-house theologian, okay? Who, by the way, was a lot like me, because I grew up carrying a blanket, believe it or not. And for years, I sucked my thumb, so don't judge me. I'm in good company with Linus. But anyway, Linus responds by saying, sure, Charlie Brown. And then what Linus goes on to do is he begins to quote a passage of Scripture. And it's the passage of Scripture that I want to look at today. So we're going to look at today Luke chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in verse 8, and we're going to go through verse 15. And basically what this portion of Scripture is, it's called the birth announcement of Jesus. It's the angel coming and announcing that Jesus Christ has now come to earth. So let's look at the passage together. Luke chapter 2, we'll pick it up in verse 8. Okay, it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, and they were guarding their flocks of sheep. Verse 9, suddenly, boom, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. Could you imagine that? And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified, and we would be too. Verse 10, but the angel reassured them, and he said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people, not just to the Jewish people, but to all people, Gentiles included. Verse 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Verse 12, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly, boom, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. Many scholars believe it was 10,000s upon 10,000s. And they were praising God together. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And here's our word today, don't miss it. And peace on earth to all those with whom God is pleased. Verse 15, when the angel returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's get into our Hummers and let's go to Bethlehem and let's see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Then if you read the rest of the text, they did exactly that. And they saw that the promise was fulfilled exactly as the angel had told them. I don't know about you, but that deserves a big wow. What an amazing story. I mean, the message that these shepherds received on that first Christmas was a message that would go on from that point to change the world. And I love it because not only does it change the world, it changes us. It changes us individually, and it changes our families. I mean, I look back to our family, how that message changed our family when my parents gave their life to Christ. And gang, a big part of this message we see in verse 14, a big part of this message certainly includes the message that we're going to talk about today, and that is this message of peace. Peace. So in the few minutes that we have here this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about peace. So I want to encourage you, if you have a piece of paper, you want to write some things down, that would be great. I want to talk about peace, and simply today what I want to do is I want to talk about and say that there's basically two types of peace that we're going to talk about today. Two types of peace, and I'm going to put them in the order in which they must be taken. I want to let you know you can't get the wagon ahead of the horse when it comes to the peace that we're going to be talking about today. So they must be taken in the order that I'm going to give them today. Two types of peace. And the first type of peace is this. The peace is called peace with God. That's our first type of peace we want to talk about, look at today, is peace with God, okay? And this peace is what we can call vertical peace, vertical peace. It's peace between this God who is holy, righteous, and just. And it's the peace between us or him and people. And I want to let you know this morning that this peace is absolutely necessary because here's the deal, gang, we all have something in common. I think of today's population of our world is, what, 8 billion people. And I think about all the people past, present, and future. And the amazing thing is, gang, we all have something in common. And that is that the moment you were born, you were born with what the Bible calls a sinful nature. You were born with a sinful nature. Because Adam and Eve sinned, we've all sinned. That's the reality. That's the facts of Scripture. And because we're born with a sinful nature, the result is our relationship right off the bat, our relationship with God is broken. Our relationship with God is fractured right off the bat. Right off the bat, the Scripture would go on to say that we're enemies with God. We're not in a very good place. We're in really bad shape right from the very get-go. Before you made your first choice, before you made your first decision, we were in really bad shape. There was this broken relationship with God. And you say, well, Mike, how can we turn this around? How can we turn it around so we can have peace with God? I want to look at this phrase here. This is how we do it. And it's by having the faith to trust in Jesus as your Savior. It's that simple. And that's simply by having the faith to trust in Jesus as your Savior. And I want to let you know, the moment you make that decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, there's an amazing result that takes place. And the result is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Paul, the writer, says, therefore, since we have been made, look at this, gang, we have been made right in God's sight. How? By faith. And because of that, look at what he says. He says, now we have peace with God. Once we were far away from God, once the relationship was broken, once we were enemies, but through faith now we have peace with God. And why? He tells us why. Because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. See, it's not because of what we can do for ourselves. It's not because we were confirmed. It's not because we went through a class or we go to church. We're only made right with God. This relationship is only healed because of what Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth and he emptied himself 2,000 years ago and he became fully God, fully man, and he lived for one purpose. He came from one purpose, and that was the cross. And there on the cross, he died for our sins. Why? So that people that were far from God, people who had no hope, now if they would put their faith and trust in him, now they could have what we call peace with God. And really, that's one of the biggest questions you need to ask yourself in this life, in your time here on the planet. The biggest question we need to be asking ourselves is this question: do I have peace with God? And the only person that can really answer that is you. So I want to ask you today, as I look you in the eye, I want to ask every person, do you have peace with God because you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Okay? But here's the good deal, gang. If you've done this, pardon me here, if you've done this, then you can move on to the second type of peace. But remember, you cannot have the second type of peace that we're going to talk about until you take care of the first type of peace, and that is peace with God. But once you've done that, you can move on. And by the way, we have peace with God through Jesus. Amen. And then if you do this, here's what we could be promised. We can have the peace of God. The peace of God. And this is the type of peace that takes place internally. This is the type of peace that takes place within each and every one of us once we come to Christ. This is the type of peace that in the Hebrew language, it's called shalom. That's the type of peace that we're talking about today. That would be a common greeting in the Jewish culture, shalom. So what is shalom? Shalom is simply this tranquility of our soul. And that word tranquility means we can be calm. It means we can be still. It means that we can have rest. There can be a quietness. It means we can have the tranquility of the soul. And check out the second part, gang. It's really important. It's a tranquility of the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances. It's unaffected by outward surroundings. It's unaffected by the outside pressure. So what I want everyone to see this morning, and please don't miss this. We're going to be very short this morning. Please don't miss this. And what I want us to see is peace is not the absence of conflict. Is everybody hearing me this morning? Peace is not the absence of storms. Peace is not the absence of struggles. Because remember what we talked about last week. The same thing holds true today. We live in a broken world. And I want to let you know, if you're in a season of peace right now, know what you should do is thank God. But I want to let you know, there'll be another struggle on the horizon. Aren't you glad you came to church, okay? Just so I can give you that good news. So peace is not the absence of these things, gang. I want everybody to hear. Some people think, well, when this is over, then I'll have peace. Well, you've missed it. You've missed it. Peace is not the absence of these things, but peace is that calmness. It's that ability to rest, even when you're smack dab right in the middle of it. You know what I'm talking about, when you're in the middle of it. See, when these things come, we don't have to freak out. You don't have to worry. You don't have to live in fear and be overwhelmed. You don't have to get upset every time there's a storm. You don't have to go into a tizzy. I've been waiting to say that all week, by the way. I love that word, tizzy. Does anybody know anybody that's gone into a tizzy? Let's move on. Anyway, tizzy. You don't have to go into a tizzy every time there's a storm. And You don't have to get all bent out of shape and impact those people that are closest to you because you're miserable and not having peace, and you just begin to spread that to everyone. I want to let you know today, peace is the fact that we can just live in that place where there's quietness, where we're calm, where there's rest, even in the midst of the worst storm of our lives. We can be assured of that because we have peace with God. So if the peace of God were seen in a picture, I want to let you know this is what the picture would look like. I want you to take a look at this picture. Look at it really good, okay? And let me give you a little background to the story of the painting of this picture. Several years ago, there was a major art gallery that sponsored a competition for painters, and they were offering prizes for the best painting of the subject or on the subject of peace. So they said, hey, paint a picture what you think peace would look like. And to the surprise of many people, this was the painting that won the prize on peace. And as you see, what we see here is there's an ocean having a violent storm. The lightning was cutting across the sky. The waves were crashing into the rocks and into the shore, okay? And you say, well, how did this painting win the prize of peace? And here's what I need to tell you. You need to look super, super close, because halfway up the cliff, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a bird. And this bird was sitting on the nest with her little babies tucked underneath their mother, sleeping soundly. You see the bird, by the way? Let me show you here. It's right. It doesn't help when it goes on to us. Can everybody see it? We're going to take a journey here. There you go. Thanks to my pointer guy. Thank you. See, is there a storm? Yes. But even in the midst of their storm, these babies, this mother, were in perfect peace. And gang, this is what it looks like for even us today to have the peace of God. And I want to let you know today, this peace is available to each and every single one of us. Regardless of what you may be facing today, God promises us this peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't know what's going on in your home. I don't know what's going on in your workplace. I don't know what's going on with your health. I don't know what's going on in your school. I know what's going on in our country. And I want to let you know, as children of God, we can have the peace of God. We don't have to freak out. We don't have to lose sleep. We don't have to take pills. We don't have to be prescribed medicine. I want to let you know we can have the peace of God. So in review, I just want to let you know there's two types of peace. There's the peace with God. And then after we've taken care of that business, we can have the peace of God. So what I want to do today in closing is I simply want to ask you two simple questions. And the first question is this. A lot of people might be asking today, where does peace come from? Where does peace come from? Okay? What if I told you that peace that we talked about this morning is found in a relationship? And it's found in a relationship with a person. And that person's name is Jesus. The same one that was announced to the shepherds and was announced to the world is the same one that we today have peace because of who he is. And I want to make it very clear that it comes to a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't come just because we've heard the name of Jesus, or maybe if you were like me in fifth grade, you prayed a prayer and asked Jesus into your heart, but you really haven't done much with it since then. Where does peace come from? Peace comes through this abiding, remaining, everyday relationship with Jesus that we're nurturing, that we're developing, that we're growing. That's where the peace comes, that when the storms come, we could just sit there and say, Lord, I don't like the storms, but you know what, Lord? I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. So that's where the peace, that's the first question. That's where the peace comes. So my second question is the biggest question of the day. And I want to ask each person here in this room today, and I want to ask each person online today, and that is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Christ? I'm not talking, are you a part of a certain denomination? I'm not talking about if you have perfect Sunday school attendance. I'm not talking about if you go to church most weeks. I'm asking each and every one of us today, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You have a relationship that started when you put your faith and trust in him, but that was just the beginning, gang. Now it's a relationship that we continue to nurture, to develop. We continue daily to spend time with him. You say, how do you spend time with God? You spend time with God, with Jesus in his word, in prayer, in meditation, in fellowship with other believers. And folks, this is the promise that is, this is the peace that's promised to people is through a relationship with Christ. So do you have a relationship with Jesus? You may be here today and you say, I'm not certain if I have a relationship with Jesus or not. Well, this is a church where I'm trying to do my best every week to say, hey, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to tell you simply how you can. And at Journey Church, what we've done is we've narrowed it down to basically three simple phrases, three ways, three steps that you can take to begin a relationship with Jesus. And that is, number one, there's got to be a time in your life where you say you're sorry. And really, the biblical word for sorry is we would say repentance. Repentance. We say, God, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I'm sorry for those things that where I missed it. And not only do I say sorry, now I'm turning from everything in my life that I know that's wrong. I'm going to turn away from everything. I'm not just saying sorry, but God, now I'm meaning business in my businesses, Lord. I'm going to turn away from those things that your word tells me is wrong. And now I'm going to pursue what you would have me to pursue. And then number two, the second step is by saying thank you. Gang, we need to say thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Amen? We need to begin by saying, first of all, I think we could even take it one step further back and say, Jesus, thank you that you came to earth. Thank you that you emptied yourself of all your divinity and you came to earth and you took on skin, you took on flesh. And you came for one reason, Jesus. You came because it all pointed towards God's assignment for Jesus' life, and that assignment was the cross. And it was there on the cross, this pure, spotless person, the Lamb of God, would die on the cross for our sins. He was the perfect sacrifice once and for all. And we need to say, thank you, Jesus. Have you stopped to say, thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying for me? Why? So that I can have peace with God. I can be in this place where my relationship, there's peace between me and my Creator. And number three, what we need to do is we need to say, Lord, please, would you please come into my life by your Holy Spirit? And will you be with me every single day, every single week, every single year, every single storm, every single struggle? Will you be with me every time I face something that's challenging? Will you be with me so that I don't have to freak out and worry and have anxiety and have to be medicated? But I can come, and even in those midst of those storms, I can have peace. Jesus, would you please be with me? So let's just bow our heads here in a second. I want you to keep your eyes on those words. Sorry, thank you, please. That's really where peace begins. And that's where peace also continues. It continues for every day of your life. I don't know what our country faces in the year ahead, but I know that whatever our country faces, I can be certain of this: God's peace is more than enough. God's peace is more than what you're going to need to get through what's ahead. So I want to ask, is everybody, you have a relationship? You have a relationship with Jesus? said yes to Christ.